The second of Timothy, chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we said before that the idea of Timothy being Paul's son shows that Paul has really cared for him spiritually, and that is how it works out. If you really try for somebody and you really make an effort to help someone, they become like your spiritual child. And when they come to God's kingdom, when Jesus comes back, that'll be so wonderful when you see that person go in the kingdom. Whereas if in this life, all we've spent our time on is trying to get lots of money, lots of things, lots of expensive toys, lots of everything, then, I mean, what will we have? Well, nothing, because all that stuff is rubbish. All that stuff has just passed away. And the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same you are to commit to faithful men who will teach others also. Endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man who is involved in war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. And so that's what we're involved in. We're involved in God's work and in the work of Jesus, which totally takes up all our thinking as if we're in a war. And if you're in the middle of a war, you cannot be thinking about and caught up all the time with things of just ordinary civilian life. And so that is how he sees it. And that's how it should be with us. That absolutely everything that we do and our whole way of life is all centered ultimately around this great spiritual battle that we're involved in. The agricultural worker, the farmer who labors, who works, will be the first person to taste of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. So you see then how the Lord Jesus confirms you. If you want to understand, if you consider what Paul is saying, the Lord Jesus will give you understanding. Remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was of the seed of David, exactly as I preached in my gospel. And for that, I suffer trouble. Even unto bonds, he means chains in prison, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the chosen ones, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he was in prison doing his missionary work, which was so that others might obtain salvation. So you see the role that we play. If we go out and give out Bibles, New Testaments, tracts to people, if we try to talk to people about the gospel, and somebody does actually say yes and gets baptized and abides in Christ, then we are helping them to salvation. You're actually giving someone eternal life and helping them to escape from an eternal death. This is the huge and wonderful meaning of preaching. So he says, it is a truthful saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we suffer, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he remains faithful. That's what happens when you get baptized. You die with him and you also live with him. So put them in remembrance of these things and charge them in the sight of the Lord, that they do not argue about words. See, don't argue. Don't argue when you've got this great hope of the kingdom in front of you. That's a great principle. Give every effort to present yourself unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling correctly the word of truth. But turn away from babblings, and there's lots of those, you read them on the internet, theories about this, but they're all just babblings. They will not help you to proceed further in the life of godliness, but rather their word eats like a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. But the foundation of God remains sure, having this guarantee, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So you've got to depart from sin, and you see it, just go away from it in whatever form. Just, it's not that you're better or we're better, but just get away from it, just keep away. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of clay, some to honour, some to dishonour. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he will be a vessel to honour, ready to be used by the Master and prepared for every good work. And also flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and ignorant questions just refuse and avoid them, knowing that they only create arguments. And the Lord's servant must not argue, but be gentle. Gentle towards all people, willing and eager to teach, instructing in humility those who oppose themselves, so that perhaps God will give them repentance to acknowledge the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the enemy. So then, humility, a desire to positively help people and not to be involved in arguments. And I like what he says earlier in this chapter about not being involved in arguments because of the great hope we have of salvation before us. That if we're going to live forever and ever in the kingdom when Jesus comes back, then let's not argue now. Let's not argue about little words. She said this, he said that, they implied this or whatever. Let's get on and rejoice in those things.